This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Hello, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about my guest, Rick Neal. I'm speaking to him by telephone at his home right outside of Akron, Ohio, interviewing him on his brand new book, Ultimate Glory, one of the first books I've seen that takes the biblical festivals that in the Hebrew God says are actually rehearsals and gives us a peek into what's going to happen in the last days rather than through the filtered deception of the Greco-Roman understanding, we look at the rehearsals that God himself put into the scriptures that said, if you want to take a peek into the book of the last days, look at my biblical festivals. And so right now, Rick believes that we are in Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, and in traditional Judaism and in the Bible, it tells us that it's 10 days of awe and repentance where you repent. So what's going to happen, Rick, for those that, and we're in that window right now of those 10 days of repentance, what's going to happen to the lukewarm believers in the Messiah, which, let's be candid, are most Christians today? It's unfortunate, but I hate to say this, but it's true. I believe many churches are nothing more than warehouses for hell. What's going to happen to those that refuse to get red hot during this 10 days of Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah?
Well, I believe the very word that you referenced there, lukewarm, will give us the key to that, is in Revelation 3, where Jesus says that he knows our works, and he would that we were hot or cold, but those who are lukewarm, he said that he is going to vomit out of his mouth. And I believe that that is about as clear as it can get. I mean, that doesn't mean, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the Lord vomiting. I believe that's a picture of lukewarmness making the Lord sick. With John the Baptist, with the earlier feast days, when speaking of Jesus, back with Passover, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then concerning Pentecost, with the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said, behold, he it is will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, there's also a prophecy from John concerning this time, this Day of Atonement. In Luke 3:17, it says that his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And I believe that that shows that same picture, that the Lord is coming he's coming to purify his bride. He's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish, without wrinkle. And that purified bride, that clean bride, that glorious bride is going to be here on earth. It's not just going to be in heaven.
So let's take, there was an exact day that was fulfilled where we had a rehearsal first by looking at the festival in the Old Testament, and then we saw it actually fulfilled in a single day. That was Pentecost. Do you believe that there's like a cutoff point called Yom Kippur or Day of Atonement, that when that occurs, if someone is still lukewarm or a foolish virgin, they're going to be cut off?
I believe that with all my heart, Sid. I believe that.
Well, let's look at the positive. What about those of us that repent and are red hot for the Messiah? What's going to happen to us on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur?
OK, Okay, I believe Isaiah 60 shows that really well. I believe that this is going to be a time of great darkness. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." For me, that carries the entire picture of the Day of Atonement. I believe that we are heading into the darkest time in human history. I believe that darkness has overtaken the earth. But I also believe that the Lord is purposely going to use that darkness as a backdrop to help magnify the glory that's about to be released in the church.
And is that what we're being prepared for in this 10 days of Feast of Trumpets? And it's not 10 literal days, but the season we're in right now?
Exactly. I believe in Romans 8:18, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And in John 17:22, Jesus said, "And the glory which you gave me, I give to them, that they may be one just as we are one." I really believe that this, just like in the shadow, that on the shadow day of atonement, the high priest, once a year, on this day, would go in and the glory would fill the temple. And just as on Pentecost, when the Lord came as a baptizer with the Holy Spirit and he filled his entire church, that was it in one accord, they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I believe the same is going to be seen on the Day of Atonement when the high priest, the great high priest, Jesus himself, comes and fills his temples with glory. And again, there's a prerequisite, as with the Day of Pentecost. The prerequisite was that they were all in one accord, that their hearts were together. They were not rebellious. They were not selfish. They were in accord with one another and with the Lord. I believe the same thing is true with this upcoming Day of Atonement, that the Lord is calling, okay, from our perspective, we can get fearful if we look at the judgments and the cutting off that the Lord speaks about. But from God's perspective, he's looking for the faithful. This whole thing about the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets is about faithfulness. Passover and Pentecost dealt with faith, but now we're dealing, the fall feast days are dealing with faithfulness. Those who are faithful will be blessed beyond their wildest dreams.
Now, one of the things I've often wondered is the book of Ephesians talks about the glorious church. You don't have to be a great theologian to figure this out. It's a church that's filled with the literal glory of God. And I've often wondered how God is going to do this. The way you're explaining it, and we're in a season of separation right now, and on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, you were quoting from Isaiah 61 about the Spirit of the Lord being upon us. Describe what it's going to be like in the church and in the world on real Christians at the Day of Atonement, on those that are red hot.
I believe the prophecy that Jesus himself spoke said that those who believe in him, they would do the same works that he did and even greater. I believe the glory of the Lord is going to fill every repentant Christian. Those who respond in correct ways to this call to repent, they're going to be so filled with the glory of God that they are going to walk as Jesus walked, that they are going to be filled with his glory. I believe it could go even to the point where the Mount of Transfiguration, where the disciples saw Jesus up on the mountain. Jesus was still in his earthly body, but he was walking in the footsteps that his Father had predestined for him. And in that still earthly body, the glory of the Lord filled him. And Moses, when he came out down off the mountain, he glowed and had to put a veil over his face, and that was under a lesser covenant. I believe that the ultimate of this, of the Day of Atonement, is going to be so far beyond our capacity to dream. I believe that we're going to empty out hospitals, nursing homes, children's homes. I believe that raising the dead is going to be commonplace. I believe that the outfall, the tidal wave of this Day of Atonement, is that there are going to be billions, not millions, swept into the kingdom.
But there's also going to be persecution going on. A lot of people feel the church will really be whipped about that time, not there'll be a great revival.
Well, there's going to be, probably a better word might be reformation than revival, because the Lord is going to reform the entire church.
In other words, it's not going to stop where Martin Luther stopped. It's going to go all the way.
Yes. And everything that's in the church now, the lukewarmness and the compromise and the pretend Christians, they're all going to be gone on the Day of Atonement. They're going to be severed. They're going to be winnowed by his winnowing fan. Those who are left are going to be devoted. They're going to be filled with his glory. They are going to be walking as Jesus walked. And they are going to be unstoppable.
Is it a good time for a red hot Christian to be alive?
It's the best time. I am looking, I used to so look forward to the rapture, but now that has been so far moved to the back burner for me, because I want to walk in the full glory of my Lord. I want to see the fullness, the full...
But where does the rapture come in according to the biblical festivals?
I believe what the Lord showed me on that is that the rapture will occur on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is 5 days after the Day of Atonement. I don't know if those are going to be five literal days, and I don't know that it matters. I believe what the scenario will be that the church is called to repentance and preparation through the Feast of Trumpets, and then on the Day of Atonement, the glory will fall, it will fill the church, and it will so empower the church that there will be literally millions of Jesuses released on this earth in the fullness of his glory and power. And he's in his church, the glory will cover the earth, and in this time period between the Day of Atonement and the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that this is where this massive harvest will take place. And the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Feast of the Great Harvest. And I believe what the Lord has shown is that the rapture will occur on the first day of the Feast of the Great Harvest, or the Feast of Tabernacles.
And then you see... 7 years, the same scenario of 7 years with the Antichrist coming on the scene?
Yes, I believe so.
Well, who's going to be preaching the gospel then, if the rapture occurs?
Okay, I believe that the emphasis, okay, that brings me to a different question. To answer your question, I have to go a different direction.
Rick, we're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast, Mishpocha. But if you've been wanting to understand the end time events in relationship to the only rehearsals that God guarantees from the scriptures, the biblical festivals, I really urge you to get a copy of this book. It's brand new. Ultimate Glory. $13. Postage paid. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. 548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Come, let him die, for the day of the Lord is come.
I'm heading to call.